John 19:25-30, the death of Jesus. Let's pray and prepare our hearts to hear the word of the Lord today. Father, thank you for the cross of Jesus. Thank you for forgiving our sins. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Open our eyes and our ears to hear your voice and to know your heart today. And may the glory of Christ be revealed through the sharing of his word. Beginning at verse 25. But standing by Jesus' cross were his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Therefore, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing there, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." From that hour, the disciple took her into his home. Meditation question. Why do you think that Jesus entrusted the care of his mother to his disciple John, even though he had brothers? Four women are mentioned as being at the foot of the cross when Jesus was crucified: Jesus' mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Three decades before the cross, the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and announced that she would give birth to a son. Her role as the mother of the Messiah was not easy. Many people surely believed that she had an illegitimate child, and they accused Jesus of many things. What pain she suffered as she watched him die on the cross. Mary's sister was probably Salome, the wife of Zebedee, the mother of James and John, who were therefore cousins of Jesus. Mary, the wife of Clopas, may have been the woman identified in Mark 15:40 as the mother of James, her youngest son, and Joseph. Mary Magdalene was a disciple of Jesus. Jesus cleansed her of seven demons, and she financially aided him in Galilee. She was one of the witnesses of the crucifixion and burial of Jesus, and was the first person to see him after the resurrection. While nailed to the cross and enduring unspeakable torture, the Lord saw his mother, and he wanted to make sure that she would be cared for. Jesus saw his mother with the other women near the cross as he endured unspeakable pain and agony. Jesus entrusted his mother, Mary, to the care of his disciple, John, who was also a relative. Perhaps Jesus did this because none of his brothers were there. Jesus took responsibility as the oldest son to ensure his mother was cared for. Jesus knew he could trust John to do this. Jesus died just minutes after saying these words. Verse 28. After this, Jesus, seeing that all things were now finished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I am thirsty." Now a vessel full of vinegar was set there, so they put a sponge full of vinegar on hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." He bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Meditation question. Why do you think the Old Testament included the detail that Jesus would be given vinegar to drink? From Psalm 69:21. Jesus was probably thirsty because he had suffered so much. He was about to make his final statement from the cross before he died and probably needed to drink something to be able to speak. However, when Jesus said, "I am thirsty," it appears that he was also consciously fulfilling the words from Psalm 69:21. "They gave me vinegar for my thirst." They gave Jesus some wine vinegar that was in a jar near the cross. They put a sponge dipped in vinegar on a branch or pole and held it up to Jesus' mouth. After taking a drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." Then he died. In the previous section, we pointed out four prophecies about Jesus that were fulfilled in this chapter. More than 300 prophecies like these had to be fulfilled for Jesus' claim to be the Messiah to be valid. It may seem like a small detail for Jesus to have fulfilled the prophecy that he would be given vinegar for his thirst. However, when we consider that all these prophecies written hundreds of years before Jesus came were fulfilled by Jesus, it gives us great assurance that everything happened according to the plan of God. It is amazing that Jesus fulfilled the four prophecies mentioned in this chapter, but it is mind-boggling to think that there were more than 300 prophecies like this that Jesus fulfilled. Meditation question. When Jesus said, "It is finished," why is it such a powerful declaration for us? In his dying breath, Jesus said, "It is finished." These words are cause for great rejoicing and give us great assurance and hope. The work given to Jesus by the Father was finished. He came to redeem the world from bondage to sin by taking judgment, the judgment we deserve, upon himself. That work was complete. God created Adam and Eve and put them in the garden. They were created in the image of God, and God planned that they would live in his presence and enjoy true life in him. However, they disobeyed God and were separated from him because of their sin. Sickness, death, and brokenness are a result of sin. Jesus came to reverse the curse of sin and restore us to the life in relationship with God that he originally designed for us. When Jesus said from the cross, "It is finished," he was declaring that the work of the Father had sent him to do was finished. He defeated sin, Satan, and death. He set us free from the fear of death and bondage to sin. What wonderful words of hope and blessing for us. It is finished. Jesus has set us free by his sacrifice and suffering. The work of salvation has been completed. We can do nothing to earn forgiveness or eternal life through our works. We must grasp the meaning of grace. Jesus suffered and died in our place so our sins could be forgiven. This is grace. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." The new covenant is based on what Jesus has done for us. It is not based on our works or doing something to earn salvation or God's love. It is finished. We are saved by grace by trusting in what Jesus has done for us. It is finished. It is a gift of God, not something we have done. It is finished. It is nothing, we have nothing to boast about. It is finished. What do the words "it is finished" mean for us today? I think this will be a topic of eternal discussion and thanksgiving, but here are a few things we can say. "It is finished" means our sins have been paid in full. "It is finished" means Christ has done it all for us. There's nothing we must do. "It is finished" means we are saved by grace. "It is finished" means Christ has defeated sin, death, and Satan. "It is finished" means we have been set free from the fear of death and bondage to sin. "It is finished" means Christ opened the way for us to enter God's presence. "It is finished" means we have no guilt, condemnation, or shame. "It is finished" means Christ demonstrated God's eternal and unconditional love for us. "It is finished" means our sins have been forgiven and we are accepted by the Father. Let's pray. "It is finished." Thank you, Lord, for these wonderful words. May they echo in our hearts continually with our praise and gratefulness for your sacrifice and love. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it. White as snow. Thank you, Lord. Amen.